We've prayed. We've fasted. We've sought God. Now it's time to activate the yes faith. Don't leave your faith at the end of the fasting. Keep committed. Keep courageous. Keep climbing higher.
On March 31st, 2014, 10-year-old Willie Myrick was playing outside of his house in Atlanta, USA. Suddenly, a man drove up and stopped his car and parked in front of Willie's house. The stranger got out of his car and walked towards Willie and brought some cash out of his pocket and offered it to the boy. But when the young boy walked over to take the cash, suddenly the stranger grabbed him, beat him, threw him in the back of the car, and drove off. 10-year-old Willie Myrick had just been kidnapped. At first, the boy panicked. The man was cursing and threatening him and yelling. Willie was afraid the man was going to hurt him, so he cowered in the back seat, shivering in fear. But then, in the middle of his worst nightmare, Willie suddenly remembered what he'd learned at church. No matter what happens, God is always with us. So Willie decided to sing. He started singing one of his favorite songs, a gospel song called Every Praise. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Shut up, the man said. Stop singing that praise song. But nothing could stop Willie from praising God. He kept singing, God my Savior, God my healer. For nearly 3 hours, Willie kept singing every praise over and over again. And the more he sang, the more agitated the kidnapper became. Finally, the kidnapper couldn't take the praises any longer. He pulled over and he shouted, "Get out!" Willie got out of the car and ran to a nearby house to get help. They called the police and they came. And Willie was rescued, delivered by the power of God. There are two powerful lessons for all of us in the true story of Willie Myrick and his deliverance from kidnapping. First of all, you have to bring your children to Agape Kids every week. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. What your kids need is not an international education and opportunities to develop their talents and a new phone and a new laptop. What your kids need more than anything else is a foundation of faith that will deliver them from the dangers of this world. But the second lesson for each and every one of us today is that no matter what you face this year, when you respond in faith, God will deliver you. See, you may never be kidnapped, but here's the fact we all need to address today. This year, your faith will be tested. Every one of us needs to activate our faith so that we can get through the trials and get to our destiny. For the fact is, when the enemy wants to kidnap you and your destiny, yes, faith gives every praise to God. When the enemy wants to steal your joy and beat you up, every praise goes up to God in one accord of worship. And when the enemy wants to rob you of peace and take your joy and destroy your life, yes, faith keeps on singing praise. For just like Willie Myrick, yes, faith is inside every child of God. We just need to learn how to activate our yes faith to send praise to God so he can send deliverance to us. That's the powerful message in our sermon this morning. By God's grace, we're going to discover how every one of us can activate yes faith and get to our destination in 2020. But before we go on, let's bow our heads and pray together. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you that we are no longer a slave to fear. We thank you that we are children of God, and by your grace, you have delivered us. You are delivering us, and you will yet deliver us. So activate our faith today. Teach us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might learn the steps we can take to align with you and walk with you through every circumstance this year. We submit to you now. I bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to teach us, the power to strengthen us, and the power to give us your grace that we might activate yes faith and receive your deliverance. We thank you now that at the end of the day, your name will be glorified and our lives will be transformed and blessed. We pray it by faith in Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, yes. Come on, you can do better than that. Everybody shouted, yes. I want to invite you to join your faith with me right now. Would you pray with me? Put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome once again to Agape House. It's great to see you here. Welcome to our year of yes. See, God has given us a word for this year, a word of faith, a word to motivate us, and it's the word yes. Everybody shout yes. And together with that word, he's given us a scriptural promise. It's found in 2 Corinthians 1, 19 and 20. It's on the screen, so I want everybody to join in and read it out loud together with me. Are you ready? Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. As God's ultimate yes, shout out yes. He always does what he says. Verse 20, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. If you believe it, shout yes. And I believe over the last few weeks, God's been building us and preparing us to receive the truth from this passage. So let's take a moment and look at how God's brought us in the foundation of faith. We began looking at this topic on a finish line Sunday, the last Sunday in 2019. And there we saw that to get to yes faith and to live the yes life, we have to connect with the yes God. We've got to consecrate ourselves to him. And in doing that, we will claim his promises. Then on the watch night, we turned our attention to the yes, God. We got the assurance that God never wavers. He always does what he says, and therefore he is able to do what we need him to do, and we can come into agreement with him and live the yes life. Then last week on the first Sunday of the year, we saw the three commitments we must make to give our yes to God. We've got to find my promise, obey the premise, and we've got to release God's power. If you missed any of those messages, I want to urge you to go to the Resource Center, get the CD, get the pen drive, because you need to listen to them over and over again, laying a foundation for yes in your life this year. But today we're taking a turn and going further down the road. Today we want to begin to look at how we can put yes faith into practice in our daily life. And to help us do that, we're going to be looking at the man Peter, the Apostle Peter, for the next few weeks as we practicalize this teaching into our life. We're going to look at Peter's faith, his goals, and his relationships. And to help us learn the truth about Peter for today, we printed sermon notes. They look like this. They're inside your bulletin, and I invite you to take them out now and follow along with me as we discover three steps to activate yes faith. Our scripture text for today is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 14, a very famous story about the Apostle Peter. Pastor Gabriel Jima is coming to help us read the story. Hear the word of the Lord.
Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once.
"Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage." Tell your neighbor, "Take courage." "Take courage," Jesus said. "I am here."
Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water."
"Yes," everybody say yes. "Yes, come," Jesus said.
So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him.
"You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" Now let's all join and read the last three verses together. Ready, go. When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, yes. I don't know about you, but I really like Peter. I like him because he's real. He's human. He has his weaknesses and his problems, and I think that's why I can relate to him. See, if Peter had perfect faith all the time, he would look so good and so holy to me, I might not be able to learn from him. But he has his ups and downs, his highs and lows. He has the times when he fails, and he learns how to overcome, because the fact is, no matter how Peter messed up, he always kept coming back. He never quit. And it's the fact that Peter's so much like me that makes him relatable to me. It's the fact that sometimes he's weak that gives me hope, because if God could perfect the faith in Peter, he can perfect the faith in me. If you believe it, say amen. So today, let's discover from his story three steps to activate yes faith. And here's your first step. Yes faith is committed to God's plan. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word committed. Our story begins in verse 22 in kind of an unusual way. It's something that's so bold, it caught my attention. Listen to what it says. Jesus insisted. Everybody say insisted. Say it like you're insisting it. Jesus insisted that the disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. This wasn't an option. This wasn't something as of a suggestion. This was a command. This was urgent. This was something that Jesus really wanted them to do. He insisted. So Peter and the disciples started their journey across the lake with great confidence. They started knowing that they were in the will of God, knowing that he'd sent them, knowing that he'd given them an assignment. They knew that God had directed them. And I can imagine they started out with a lot of swag. I can imagine they started out with a lot of confidence. They must have been singing and dancing because they said God's called us and God's commissioned us and God's challenged us and God's given us assignment. We're in the will of God. Our yes, God is sending us. And when God says yes, no man can say no. Hallelujah. But something happens on the way to their destiny. As they're going in obedience to the will of God, suddenly a storm arises and tries to knock them off course. A powerful wind begins to blow. The waves begin to rock the boat. And without any warning, Peter and co. are in trouble on the lake. Listen to verse 24. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. And we don't know for sure, but I can imagine that they were not only in trouble, but also trouble was in them. For not only were they fighting the storm, but they must have been fighting doubt and uncertainty and insecurity in their life. Can you imagine in the storm they must have been asking, wait a minute, didn't God say, didn't Jesus say, didn't he tell us to get in the boat and go to the other side, then why this storm? They weren't expecting a storm on the way to their destiny. And that's how it is for most of us today. We often think that if I'm in the will of God, if I've got a prophetic word, a vision, and a dream, then everything's going to be smooth sailing. If I've heard from God and I'm obeying him, then everything's going to work out perfectly. But the fact is that just because something's difficult does not mean it's not the will of God. The disciples heard Jesus. They obeyed Jesus. They knew they would meet him over there. They had a word from God, yet a storm still arose. In spite of the fact that they were in God's will and going God's way, they met trouble. Everybody say trouble. For the fact is, no matter who you are, your faith will be tested in 2020. That's why later in life, this same Peter says this in 1 Peter 4. Dear friends, don't be surprised. Nudge your neighbor, say, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad. What? For these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to the whole world. So the fact is, Peter begins to teach us something he learned on the lake and something he learned in life, that no matter what, you can rejoice in the storm because the storm is going to work for your good. It's going to make you a partner with Christ, and you're going to see greater glory when you're committed to God through the storm. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Tested faith leads to trusted faith. In order to get to a faith that is trusted, your faith has to be tested. And Peter joins me in speaking to you today. Just because you've got difficulty in your marriage doesn't mean the marriage didn't come from God. Doesn't mean that God's will is for you to divorce. You need to endure through the storm and let your faith grow stronger. Just because there's trouble in your business doesn't mean God didn't put you there and give you the idea for that company. You need to endure through the storm because he's building your faith and making you a partner with him. Just because there's trouble in your finance or your relationships or your marriage or your home or your family doesn't mean that God is not with you. He has not forsaken you. He's simply strengthening you through the storm. That's the truth we learn from David in Psalm 23. Listen carefully. He said, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his. Doesn't that sound good? I'm walking in the path of righteousness. I'm settled by the green pastures. But then he goes on and says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And we say, wait a minute, David. How did you go from walking in paths of righteousness to suddenly becoming in the valley of the shadow of death? And we think in our mind, these are two different paths. We think the path of righteousness and the path that goes through the valley of the shadow of death are two different roads, but in fact, they are the same road. The fact is, the path of righteousness will sometimes take you through the valley of the shadow of death, but you don't need to fear. You simply need to be committed. For the fact is, no matter where you go, no matter what you pass through, you are not alone. God is watching over you. That's why David continues and says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And I came to tell you today that God is with you in the storm. He's with you in the trial. He's with you in the difficulty. He will not leave you or forsake you. His eye is upon you. His hand is upon you. He's watching over you, and he will not allow evil to triumph in your life. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. For when the disciples were battling in the storm, Jesus was on the mountain praying for them. In fact, not only is God watching over you, not only is he praying for you, but he's working to use the storm for your good. That's the lesson we can learn from the true story of a man from Nebraska, USA. On Monday, April 15th last year, this man was at work and suddenly started having a heart attack. His heart began beating and racing so badly, it was critical. They called an ambulance to rush him to the hospital. But in the ambulance, things actually grew worse. His heart began to race at 200 beats per minute, and it looked as if he might not make it. The doctors on board were doing everything they could to save him, but they had to get him to the hospital to ensure he would live. The only problem was that between his working place and the hospital, the road was very bad. There was a stretch that was filled with potholes, and the ambulance driver had to decide, do I slow down and navigate around the potholes and risk this man's life, or do I barrel with speed through the potholes and I don't know what will happen to him? But because it was urgent, they had to get to the hospital. The driver put his foot on the accelerator and jammed through the potholes, and that's when a miracle took place. For as the ambulance slammed full speed into a pothole, suddenly the man's heartbeat returned to normal. The rapid beating stopped. His heart resumed normal function, and the man fully recovered, all because of the potholes. Thank God for the potholes. Tomorrow morning when you're driving to work, just say, thank God for the potholes. That's why I declare to you today, God is going to use every pothole in your life to accelerate you to your destination. He's going to use every storm in your life for good. If you'll stay committed to him in faith, your faith will get stronger. That's why this same Peter also wrote in chapter 1, 6, and 7 of his first epistle, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So, When your faith remains strong, when you remain committed through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Understand what Peter learned and what he's teaching us today. No matter the storm, it's temporary, it's minor, and God is doing something greater. He's working for good. He's refining you and bringing good in you. So here's the truth you need to put on your keychain and take home with you. The storm didn't come to sink you. The storm came to strengthen you. That's why, yes, faith stays committed in the storm. It believes no matter what, God's working to bring out good. This is the same thing 2 Corinthians 4 says. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us, the storm produces for us, a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. The potholes will soon be filled, but the things we cannot see will last forever. If you believe it, shout yes. So my word to you today is don't doubt, don't fear, take courage, be strong, for no matter how hard things get, God is going to produce a greater glory. He's going to turn it around for your good in 2020. If you believe it, shout yes. That's the lesson we can learn from the true story of the Adewumi family from Nigeria. Several years ago, the Adewumi family was in deep trouble in Nigeria. They caught up in the conflict with Boko Haram. They had to flee their home and even flee the nation of Nigeria. They became refugees and sought asylum in the United States. They ended up in New York City, and you would think that would solve their problem, but it was just as bad in some ways there. They had no home. They were struggling to make ends meet. And even though there were no war zones around them, things looked dark. But in spite of their trials they faced, the Adewumi family were strong Christians. They kept their commitment to God, and God kept his hand on them. Even in the dark and lonely place, they didn't give up. Even in the storm, they knew that God was with them and that he would turn things around for good. The turnaround for the Adewumi family came from an unusual place. It came from their 8-year-old son, Tani. For see, even though they had no home and they had no much money, Tani was able to walk to the local public school. And as he started going to school, he learned new things. He started getting an interest in the game chess. Tani had never played chess before, but he asked his mother and she gave him permission to join the chess club. Now, when Tani started playing chess, he was terrible. He was the worst chess player in the entire school. But with God's help and Tani's determination, he began to improve and improve. And suddenly, before you knew it, Tani became the best player in his school, better than all the other kids who'd been playing longer. And then, because of that, he was allowed to enter a regional competition in the state of New York. And so it was that last March, Tani Adewumi competed in the New York State Chess Championship and went undefeated to win first place. I thought you'd give him a round of applause. But not only did Tani win the chess championship, Tani also won the hearts of the public. The news of this refugee boy who fought against all odds to become the New York State chess champion for his age group and his class in school, that story was picked up by Nicholas Kristof at America's third largest newspaper, the New York Times. Tani's story soon went viral, and donations started pouring in to help the Adewumi family. In fact, within 24 hours of his story appearing in the New York Times, someone donated a house for the Adewumi family, not just to live in, but to possess. Today, over $250,000 has been donated to the family to cater for all their needs. If you believe it, shout yes. But the story doesn't end there. In November, the movie giant Paramount signed a contract to make a full-length feature film out of the story of Tani and the Adewumi family. And here's the lesson for all of us in Tani's inspiring story. No matter how dark the night, no matter how desperate the storm, stay committed to God's plan and he will turn it around. He'll turn your storm into success. He'll turn your struggle into strength. So take courage today. That brings us to our second step to activate yes faith. Yes faith is courageous in the storm. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word courageous. And listen to what happened next in Matthew 14, verses 25 and 27. About 3 o'clock in the morning, the Bible says, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. Now understand that at 3 o'clock in the morning, they'd already been on the lake for about 8 or 9 hours. It was the previous evening he'd sent them away. So Jesus was up praying. They were in the boat rowing, but 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus comes to them walking on the water, and Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. Nudge your neighbor and say, take courage. Take courage, for I am here. And that's the same message Jesus has for each of us today. When you're caught in a storm, take courage. For the fact is, your courage is not based upon your circumstances. Your courage is not based upon your ability. Your courage is not based on your situation. It's based on his presence. Courage comes from Jesus' authority, not my ability. And no matter what storm you face, you can take courage because he is with you, and he has all authority. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 28, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go. Turn your notes over to page 2 and understand what Jesus is saying. He says that no matter the fire, no matter the storm, he has all authority, and you can be courageous not based on your ability, not based on yourself or your own authority, but based on his authority. All authority was with him, so I have all the reason to be courageous. But not only can I be courageous, the Bible tells us that when Jesus has all authority, he gives you an assignment. He said, go, and his authority results in our assignment. So I challenge you this year to activate yes faith. Take courage and begin to reach for something higher. Begin to aim higher. Begin to reach for greater heights, for it's not based on your pocketbook, not based on your strength or your education. It's not based on your family, but it's based on his authority. And when you know he has authority, you know that you have an assignment to go and activate your faith to do his work. If you believe it, say yes. And that's what happened to Peter. Peter was able to walk on the water because of Jesus' authority. Look at Matthew 14, 29. Peter said to him, should I come walk on the water? And Jesus said, yes, come. Jesus was able by his authority to give Peter the ability to do what he needed to do. With that one word, yes, come, Jesus gave Peter not only an assignment, but he gave him supernatural ability. So the Bible says in verse 29, Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. And here's what that means for you and I. His authority results in our assignment. And number two, his authority results in our ability. If Jesus put it on you, he's going to put it in you. If he called you, he's going to carry you. If he said do it, he's got a way for you to do it. That's why yes faith is courageous. That's why this year you're going to achieve more than you thought possible, because you're going to step out of the boat and walk on the water by his authority. Your goals for this year can't be what you can achieve in your own power. Your goals for this year can't be what you think you can manage with your own bank account and your own education. If your goals for this year can be accomplished in your strength, then your goals are too small. For Matthew 19, 26, Jesus looked at them and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. And you need to shift into the supernatural right now for what God has already promised you. How do you need to shift? Well, you need to be courageous. Can I just say this? You need to be courageous in your relationships. I'm talking to some young men here today. Hello. Some of you young men, God bless you. You've been praying and praying. You've been praying the last 15 years. It's time to stop praying and start looking. Some of you guys are so weak and timid in your relationship. You're always seeing her off, seeing her off. It's time to stop seeing her off and time to start asking her out. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. Look, a few years ago, we had fasting and prayer. During one of the fasting and prayer, we asked all the singles to come forward. Woo, we had some handsome men. Whoa, we had some beautiful ladies. Hey, they were all lined up there, all praying with their eyes closed. I said, stop, open your eyes. You know, they're all praying, oh, God, give me a wife. God, give me a wife. Brother, open your eyes. Be courageous in your relationship. See, listen, young men, this is what the Bible says. Ladies, you can close yours. This is what the Bible says, guys. He that findeth a wife finds a good thing. You got to look if you're going to find. I thought the ladies would get excited anyway. Come on. Somebody shout yes. You need to be courageous in business. Don't be timid and fearful when you've got the authority of Christ. When you find your promise and obey the premise, don't make your business decisions based on human understanding or human confidence. Base them on the direction and leading of God. You need to be courageous in prayer. We need to stop praying, Lord, please be with me. He's already with you. That's not a prayer that is courageous. That's a nonsense prayer in the sense that he's already with you. He said, I'll never leave you and forsake you. Stop praying, Lord, be with me, and start praying, God, flow through me, raise the dead through me, heal the sick through me, cast out devils through me, bring revival through me. Come on and pray courageous prayers. Somebody shout, yes. We need to be courageous in witness. I don't care, no matter what anybody says. I don't care what they talk about me. I don't care what they say about me on Instagram and Facebook. I'm going to preach the unadulterated word of God. I'm not here for you. I'm here for Jesus. We need to be courageous and speak up about Jesus. Somebody shout, yes. You need to be courageous in your giving. You need to give like you're a rich man. You need to give like your salary is double. Because yes, faith starts by doing what it can, where it is, with what it has, and trusting God to do what you cannot do for yourself. You got to start by stepping out of the boat. That's the lesson we can learn from Candace Payne from Chicago, USA. Last year in February, temperatures were predicted to drop so low in Chicago, it would be so much below freezing that the streets would have ice on them. When Candace Payne heard that freezing temperatures were coming, her first thought was for all the poor, homeless people living on the street. How will they survive in this weather, she wondered. So Candace made an instant decision. She's not a millionaire. She's not a tech genius or a CEO, but she said, let me do what I can with what I have, where I am. So she jumped into action. She took her own cash, went to the supermarket, bought some food, and began to gather items and cook food to give to the poor. And then she used her bank card to call a local hotel. She booked 30 rooms to house homeless people on those nights. Then she called her friends and coworkers to get with her, and they got together, volunteering to rescue homeless people and bring them to this hotel. 30 rooms quickly became 60 rooms. A few nights became a few more. Listen to what Candace Payne says today. I'm a regular person, she said. It all sounded like a rich person did this, but I'm just a little girl from Southside. I thought it was unattainable, but after seeing this and seeing people all over the world, that just tells me that it's not unattainable. We can do this together. Candace Payne is just like you and me, just an ordinary woman, not a millionaire, but she did what she could with what she had where she was, and she made an impact. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. If you're gonna walk on water, you gotta get out of the boat. If you're gonna walk on water, you gotta take the first step where you are with what you have and get out of the boat. Be courageous. Let the authority of God dictate your assignment. Let the authority of God dictate your ability. Start praying for the sick. Start bringing people to church. Start giving beyond your normal giving. Start praying beyond your once-a-day prayer. Start reading your Bible more than once a week. Start using the daily devotional. Start going to a life group. Start going and getting for God. See, that's the problem with so many people. We see the destiny, but we shirk from the daily duty. We see the finish line, but we don't want to take the first step. We're so focused on winning, but we don't like to focus on walking. That's what happened to Peter. It sounded good to walk on water. Can I walk on water? But the walking became a problem. A few years ago, when we started the Agape Children's Home back in 2000, a woman came to us and said, I have a passion to work with orphans. And when she told us her vision, we got excited. We thought, this woman is somebody who's really passionate about helping children. But lo and behold, we discovered that when we opened the home and we actually started taking care of people in real people's needs, this woman was nowhere to be found. She was caught up in the vision, but she failed to see the opportunity. That's what happened to Peter. He was caught up in the miracle of walking, but he didn't want to take the steps. He stopped focusing on the Savior, and he started to sink. With the wrong focus, he lost his footing. He saw the storm and lost his steam. He took his eyes off the next step and went under. You need to have courage to take the step one by one and keep going. And that brings us to our third truth. Yes, faith completes the journey. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word completes. And see how our story ends in verses 31 and 32. Jesus immediately reached out. Peter's walking on the water. He starts to sink. He gets losing a sight and he starts to sink. But Jesus immediately reaches out and grabs him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. So tell your neighbor he had to climb back up. See, here's the thing about Peter. He had to climb back up into the boat to complete the journey. If he didn't climb back up, he would never have been in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. If he didn't climb back up, he would not have written the New Testament, a part of it, like he did. If he didn't climb back up, he would not have become a great apostle. If he didn't climb back up, he would never have healed the crippled man in Acts 3. He would never have raised Dorcas to life in Acts 9. But he became a great apostle because he climbed back up. And here's the lesson for all of us today. Your future success in 2020 is based on how you handle failure today. Because Peter climbed back up in the boat, God kept working in his life. Because Peter climbed back into the boat, God was able to use his failure to teach him. Because Peter wouldn't quit, God didn't quit, and God brought him through the storm. And look at what happens. Years later in Acts chapter 4, the Bible tells us Peter and John were filled with boldness. The boldness of Peter amazed the leaders. He became a bold man because no matter how he failed, he kept climbing back up into the boat. And God sent me here to tell you today, no matter where you failed, no matter how weak you are in faith, no matter what it looks like in your life, keep climbing back up into the boat. Think about how hard it must have been for Peter to get in that boat. Everybody saw him fail. Everybody witnessed him going under. After all, he was wet. Tell your neighbor he was wet. Don't you think when he got back up into the boat, some of them were laughing? Don't you think Judas said, hey, get Peter a towel. He's wet. Tell your neighbor he was wet. And Peter's shivering. He's failed. He's fallen. He's wet. Some of the other disciples might have even been thinking, this is it. Jesus will sack you today. Some of them were thinking, you know, I could take his place. But Peter climbed back up into the boat, and Jesus kept working in him. See, other people may give up on you, but God will never give up on you. God is not finished with you. He's going to see you through. And the good news is that God never forsakes us. He never leaves us. He never quits. He never gives up on us. He's always there to help us, to climb back up, to bring us back into the boat, to keep going. That's a lesson we can learn from a man named T. Scott Marr. On December 12, 2018, Scott Marr was at home when his son Drew came home and found Scott, his father, unconscious. He was breathing, but he was unresponsive. So Drew called the ambulance. They rushed Scott to the hospital, and there he was placed on a breathing machine. The doctors did what they could to save Scott, but things didn't look good. He'd had a stroke, they felt, and they thought it was impossible for him to come back to life. So the doctors called Scott's children and said, it looks as if Scott, your father, is brain dead. There's no hope of recovery. We think the best thing is to take him off the machines and let him go. Painfully, the family made that decision. They said goodbye. They took him off the machine and they let him go. But when they unhooked Scott Marr from the machine, something miraculous happened. Rather than dying, he continued breathing. In fact, 2 days later, Scott Marr woke up unexpectedly. He started talking. He started smiling. He came back to life. Listen to Scott in his own words. "This whole thing has been a miracle from God. I believe with all my heart. And now this is just proof for me that everything I've ever heard is true. God loves me. God is right there for me." See, everybody gave up on Scott Marr. They pulled the plug and they planned his funeral. But God didn't give up. And no matter what anybody says about you, God is not finished with you. God is not giving up on you. You may have faltered in 2019. You may have fallen into the water. Your faith may be weak, but God is not finished, and he's going to complete his work in you. The fact is, when you walk in faith, sometimes you're going to get wet. Sometimes when you step out in faith, you lose courage and fail. But don't give up. Complete the journey. Stay in faith. For God's going to get you to the destination. For the fact is, God can do more with a wet Peter than a dry Judas. I'd rather be a wet Peter climbing back into the boat than a dry Judas who did nothing, who tried nothing, who never stepped out in faith, and later on who failed. See, you can sit there like a university student in the examination hall. You can judge me and you can mock me, but don't mind me if I step on your toe when I get out in the aisle and start dancing, because I'm not giving up on my God. I may be wet, but I'm not going under. I may be wet, but I'm not defeated. You can talk about my failures and you can talk about my follies, and you can talk about my mistakes, but I'm climbing back up into the boat. I'm not giving up. I'm getting back in the boat, and I'm going to keep going. My faith will not be defeated. My faith will not be put down. As long as I keep climbing back, I know I will complete my journey. Somebody shout yes. See, that's why 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you." Yes, faith doesn't give up. Yes, faith keeps going. Yes, faith completes the journey. Yes, faith will carry you home. Yes, faith will get results. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 6, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. Imitate those who through faith and patience, just say faith and patience, faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And I'm here to tell you today, if you'll hold on in faith, if you'll keep climbing back up into the boat, if you won't let go, you will complete your journey. Faith and patience together will get you where you need to be. Faith and patience will be rewarded. God's going to complete his work in you. He's there watching over you. He's there coming to you. He's there to lift you. If only you won't give up, God won't give up on you. For Philippians 1:6 says, God is the one who began this good work in you, and I'm certain that he won't stop before it is complete on the day that Jesus Christ returns. Somebody say yes. So today all you need to do is activate yes faith. Get committed to God's plan. Don't be surprised at the storm. The storm didn't come to sink you. It came to strengthen you. Be courageous. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. Take the first step. Do what you can where you are with what you have, and leave the rest to God. And be committed to complete the journey. If you get wet sometimes, get back up. If you fall down sometimes, get back up. Know that as long as you don't give up, God won't give up on you. If you would, join with me right now with our yes declaration. Would you stand to your feet all across the auditorium, on your notes and on the screen? Our yes declaration this week. Would you say it after me? This is my year of yes.
This is my year of yes.
I activate my yes faith today.
I activate my yes faith today.
As I commit to God's plan for my life.
As I commit to God's plan for my life.
I declare. No storm will sink me. Every storm will strengthen me. I am courageous in Christ. His authority results in my ability. By his grace and power in me, I will complete my journey. I am living the yes life. Give the Lord a round of applause today.